The goal tonight is simple. Get closer to Jesus. Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. That's all we're going to do. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9 says the following. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. I want to ask you tonight, do you know that you are called? Firstly, you got to answer the question, are you saved? You have to answer that question tonight, are you saved? And you cannot walk out of this church tonight if you are not saved. You cannot walk out of this church tonight if you know for a fact that you have not faced square with Jesus in the eyes and your life has not radically changed. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about knowing the songs and knowing the prayers and knowing the stories. I'm asking, have you changed on the inside? Have you met Jesus Christ? If you have met Jesus Christ, you will be changed. You will be changed. There is no two ways about it. Have you been saved? Question number one. But question number two, if you are sitting here and you know that you have been radically changed, do you know that you are called? May we encourage each other tonight. I want to really tell you guys, we have a holy calling. A holy calling, it means a separated calling. You are separated from the world for the purpose of Jesus. You have a holy calling here tonight. You are not just saved, you are called as well. I want you to think of the most valuable thing in your life right now. What is that thing that you value the most? If I lose this, I lose everything. I mean, in stages of my life, at one point in my life, it was my surfboard. Dirk says, amen. Dirk, my first salary was 6,000 rand. I spent it on a surfboard. It was the most precious thing in my life. I was a child at that stage. Now I've grown up. Now we have a few material things. But I can tell you now the most valuable thing that I've grasped this year is my calling. It's my calling. You cannot touch it. You can see it and sometimes you can experience it, but you know your calling, guys. What's your calling? It's the most valuable thing that there is. Paul says we have a holy calling. It is incredibly important to God. Now, before you understand your calling, you have to understand salvation. I am so passionate about this. Salvation is acts. Just next slide, Nareen. Previous one. There we go. Acts 2:38. Peter, the Holy Spirit just gets poured out. And the Jews come to Peter and they say, what must we do? What's going on here? And he starts preaching the gospel. And he's preaching the gospel because he's walked with Jesus. He knows what Jesus has said. And he's talking to the Jews. So he preaches the gospel to them from a Jewish perspective. And he says to them right at the end, they ask him, okay, Peter, but what must we do? What must we do to be saved? And Peter says, Acts 2:38, you must repent. Turn from your sins. Turn from your wrong ways. Get baptized in the name of Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit. One of the things that we find in religious South Africa is that there are so many people that are half born. You are half born. You haven't gotten baptized yet. You need to get baptized. Baptism is so important because it is a place where you make a public confession and you decide, my old life dies today. I'm going to bury that old life. You're going to put it away. I'm done with the old Juan. I'm done smoking weed. I'm done looking at porn. I'm done doing all these bad things. I'm done. My life is finished because I realized what Jesus has done for me. You see, when you meet Jesus, when you see the Savior, you cannot have any other way. Jesus is the greatest thing that we can possibly imagine. When we see Him one day, we will all do exactly what John did in Revelations. The Bible says, and he was like a dead man, which means he fainted instantly. Jesus, nothing compares to Jesus, guys. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All I'm going to say to you tonight, Jesus, we need to know the value of the Savior. So now, when the revelation of Jesus hits you, apply understanding. You have to turn from your sin. There are only two people in this world. You are either dead in sin, or you are dead to sin. There is no third person. There's only two. Dead in sin, dead to sin. You repent, get baptized, and you receive the Holy Spirit. And then what happens? As you work out your salvation with fear and trembling, you need to grow up. You're a little baby as you get born. So as Jesus comes into your life, you are justified, immediately justified by the blood of Christ. Now the process of sanctification starts. And this is where we need to grow up as Christians. So I've been in church for 20-something years. I got saved in April of 2004 in Shofar Stellenbosch. Fred May was preaching. The third Sunday in a row, he said, "Who wants to give their life to Jesus?" I ran to the front. He preached a three-Sunday series on why are we on earth. Never heard it like that. I've never heard anyone preach like that man before. It was like he knew God. It was like he spoke from such conviction. And I just knew now I've come to a place where my life is done today. It's done today. And I ran forward. I got on my knees and I gave Jesus everything that day. And that's the day of my conversion. April 2004 was the day I died. Within a month, I did encounter one. I got baptized and I was raised to life with Jesus Christ. In that pool, my porn addiction was broken. I'm in the process of sanctification. When I was a baby, I needed to learn to overcome temptation. I did fall in sin again. I needed my mind renewed. I ran to life group every Wednesday. I did Bible school three times. I'm trying to do it again now. My mind is still needing to be renewed. Someone need to explain to you the bigger picture. So if you've just gotten born again, you need to get stuck in church. That's why Pietri says it's so important to serve. I served on the sound team for 5 years at Stellenbosch. It was the hardest 5 years of my life. You understand how big that setup is? We drove from Stellenbosch High to, what's that big hall? DF Malan Centrum every Saturday. We started at 11 o'clock in the morning. We finished at 11 o'clock at night for 5 years. Sanctification. Then you become a young man. Now you learn to overcome Satan. You understand what you read. You are now more dependent on God and less on people. You still need encouragement to hear and follow His voice. And you need encounters where you need to grow. Where are you tonight? Are you still in the baby phase? Have you grown up to being a young man or a young woman? The encounters that encouraged me the most in my life was every time, once a year, I made a decision, I will go on missions. I want to encourage you. Go on an outreach. Go on missions. I've gone to Namibia 50 times on missions. I've been to China. go on missions. You need to get out of here with the church and go and seek and save the lost. It will change your life. You come back changed every single time, completely different person, and you are on fire for Jesus. Get out of the norm of just Sunday to Sunday, life group to life group. Once a year, make a commitment. Put 15,000 or 30,000 rand apart. Trust God for the finances and go on missions so that you have these encounters to grow in Jesus. And this is what we need. Finally, we need fathers and mothers who know the big picture, who know God, who is full of the fruit and spirit, can walk a road with babies, give food, encouragement, and guidance. There are so few fathers and mothers. There are so few fathers and mothers. So many of us, we get sidetracked along the way. We fall in sin again. Part of the reason is because we never got baptized. We never got filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't leave tonight if you haven't done those things. And I'm not saying this just because of me. I'm saying it because of Jesus. And He's coming back. We need to encourage each other. Nita always says to me, stop being so Helen Brimstone. So I want to, guys, be encouraged. Be encouraged. I'm trying. Growth only comes by faith and denying yourself. This is the reality of being a Christian. Discipline your mind. Order your priorities. Eliminate things out of your life that are non-essential. Your calling is holy. It is not to be played with. Guys, we need to realize what we are dealing with here. This is not a social club. This is not a gathering for good reason or good purpose. This is not just something South Africans do. We need to take ourselves out of religion and realize, what are we doing here? Be encouraged. Jesus has made the way. He's done everything so that we can now follow Him. But it's not going to be easy because you have to deny yourself. There is a divine purpose for every believer. It is according to His grace. And the grace will start kicking in when you start letting go. Let go. Let go and let God. We only have one life. One life to live. That's it. The only thing that matters is what we do for Jesus. That's all that matters. Bottom line. Who likes the bottom line? That's it. There is nothing else that matters. It is only what we've done for Jesus. There is nothing else. In 2015, I wanted to do what's that thing where you run, swim and run so far? Ironman. And I started. Now, for an Ironman, you need to get an eating plan. And then with an eating plan goes this exercise plan. And now you all of a sudden, someone, they tell you, the guys who've done it, all of a sudden you have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I did it for a week. You know what happened after a week? I was so convicted. I was so convicted. That just because I now had this physical thing that a man has to do, you know, we men, we want to do these things. We want to tick it off. You know, I've done an Ironman, I've done a Comrades, And then it was like the Holy Spirit said to me, okay, you're going to wake up 4 o'clock to go for a run. But what about all the people that are still unsaved? Don't even talk about that. How about you just spend time with God? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The way to what? The way to the Father. So I now have the privilege of waking up early and spending time with the Creator of the universe, Father God, the one who says to me who I am. But I want to go for a run. And if I don't, if I'm not training for the Ironman, guess what time I wake up? 6. I was so convicted, I stopped immediately. And you know what I did? I started going to intercession. Until I led intercession in Paul. Changed my life. Prayer will change your life. I will never turn back. Intercession is the most important thing by far. You want to know how? You want to know a healthy church? Go to intercession. Before I join a church, I go to intercession. I want to hear the pastor pray. When you hear a thief pray, you know this is a healthy church. You can hear he hears God's voice. Before you do anything, go to a prayer meeting. If you want to know what God is saying to the body, go to intercession. We all have a part to play in the Great Commission. You're part of an eternal plan. Ephesians 2:8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. A man who lacks purpose distracts himself with pleasure. This is a description of our society. As men, we need to get back to a place of purpose. We need to look each other square in the eyes and say, what are you living for? We need to look at each other and say, why are only the women praying? Why are they raising the kids? We need to stand up. And I'm as guilty as anyone in this. Nita is my witness. She's been married to me for 15 years. I want you to quickly picture this. It's not biblical, but I believe this is what happens. You're sitting here tonight, and you hear this. There's this guy with a mic shouting the name of Jesus at everybody. And you walk out of here, and within this next week, you die. But guess what? When you open your eyes, after that car hit you or whatever happened to you, you find yourself in hell. And as you get into hell, about 100 people run to you and they grab hold of you and they grab you like this and they shout at you, what is the name? What is the name? And you're like, whoa, just back off. What are you talking about? And they say, what is the name by which we can be saved? And you're like, no. I'll tell you now, I was in that church when that guy was shouting on Sunday. Just give me a minute. I know the name. It's coming to me. It's coming to me. It's coming to me. I've forgotten the name. And just as you realize that you cannot remember the name, another person appears in hell. Now everyone runs to that person and they ask that person, what is the name? What is the name by which we can be saved? Do you remember? Do you remember the name by which we can be saved? Goodness me, we're in hell. Do you remember? And this person says, yes. My parents used to tell me about this name. They forced me to go to church. Just give me a second. Give me a second. Is it Moses? No, it's not Moses. We've tried that name. Is it Abram? We've tried the name of Abram. It doesn't work. I cannot remember the name. I cannot remember the name. And so it goes, guys, for all of eternity. The name of Jesus. Do we realize what we have? The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. There is no name under heaven by which man can be saved. There is only one name. If you forget that name, you are doomed for eternity. How real is that to us? I ask myself that question all the time. Why am I so religious in my thinking? Why do I struggle so much to wake up early in the morning? Why do I struggle so much to give up of myself? Why is it taking me 20 years to get to this place? Why do I so, just my flesh just wants gratitude? I'm now at a place where I just want to glorify one name. There is only one name by which man can be saved. It's the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If you forget that name, you are doomed. Do we believe it? We are in a dispensation of grace. It means a time period of grace. Before grace, there was law. This dispensation will end when Jesus comes back. This time period will end when Jesus returns. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. I want you to write down 2 Peter 3, verse 8 to 9. 2 Peter 3, verse 8 to 9. It's not up there. It says, it gives the reason why God is so patient. 2 Peter 3, verse 8 to 9. It says that God is waiting. He's waiting for all men to come to repent. If you want to know what is the will of God, it is simple. It is for people to get saved. In this dispensation, in this period, this time of grace that we have, there is only one thing that God is looking for. He's looking for people to turn to Jesus. He sent His Son to make a way. Your sin is not sending you to hell. You are choosing to go to hell. Jesus has made a way. You need to turn from your sin, get baptized and receive the Holy Spirit and follow Jesus. Sometimes we are so religious in our thinking. If you were to fall off a boat and I throw to you the rope with that saving device, the life buoy, what are you going to do with it? You're going to hold on to that thing for dear life. Hold on to Jesus for dear life. That is our approach. That should be our approach. Not this casual, I'll come to church when I feel like it. You know, I'll follow Jesus, you know, one day. We need to wake up. Let's be encouraged. There is no other name by which man can be saved. I want to ask you tonight, do you struggle with a self-image? If you struggle with a self-image, you must tell yourself tonight, I have a holy calling on my life. I am separated unto God. You are separated unto God. You have a holy calling. It is priceless. And if you want to grow in your understanding, you need to look at the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. So this is how it works. You look at the Bible, you see yourself, because the Word of God tells you who you are in Christ. And then you step away, and then this Holy Spirit works those things in you now, and then you are obedient. You leave things, walk away from things, start walking the right way, start being disciplined in your life. Then you go back to the Word of God and you see, oh my goodness, I've changed. I'm moving from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. We need to spend hours in the Word. We need to spend hours in the Word of God. We need to walk in understanding. So Christianity is not a thing where you got saved and now you're waiting to go to heaven. There is the revealed will of God. The revealed will of God is simple. Go and make disciples of all the nations. That's the revealed will of God. You don't have to pray about that. Not a single one of us have to pray about making disciples. It's the revealed will of the Lord. Go and make disciples. Preach the gospel. And then there's the specific will of God. The specific will for each one of us will differ. For each one of us, it will be different, the specific will of God. But the revealed word stands the same. I, in so many years of my life, waited. I sat in this pews, waited so long for God. When are you going to tell me you are now going to be like Pietri and Retief? And here's the word of the Lord coming. You are now a pastor. It's not going to happen like that. Stop waiting for God or the Holy Spirit to all of a sudden highlight you in a service and now you are exalted. Now you become a pastor. It doesn't work like that. Start by making disciples. Where you are, there in your life group, in your area, in your sphere of influence, start by making disciples. Help a baby grow from a baby to a young man to an adult. Help people to walk in the relationship with God. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. And here is the crux of my message tonight. If you want to find your place in the body, if you want to know what the will of God is for your life, there are two things that you need to do. We all know the scripture, Romans 12, 1-8. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. If you study the book of Romans, the previous 11 chapters, Paul is writing, and it's the most incredible writing where he just logically presents the gospel, mainly to Israel, but it applies to all people. And then he gets to chapter 12. And the beauty of this is now it becomes practical. It says, therefore, so he gives you chapter 1 to 11, and then he says, therefore, what now? What do you do with all of this? He says, walk in understanding. And it's so practical. What do you do with your body? That's the first thing. What do you do with your body? The New Testament never presents mere theology. It always challenges us to apply the truth in our lives in a practical way. It's what you do with your body. So in the light of this glorious truth, Paul now says, I want you to put your body on God's altar as a living sacrifice. Now this will be different for every single one of us, and I really want to encourage us, for Jesus' sake, how can we get to a place where we are giving our lives as a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice on the altar? So the picture of this is the sacrifice that the Israelites had to make once a year. You are now that sacrifice, but we don't have to die because Jesus died in our place. But because He died in our place, it is now our response is simply stop watching Netflix. Stop binging YouTube. I'm talking to some stuff that I'm struggling with. There was a period about 5 years ago. The Marvel movies really attracted me. I'm a 90s kid. You know what I'm talking about, Stephen? We grew up with I remember what it was like without a cell phone. I remember when all these things came out and how it started, We were the first generation with Game Boy and PlayStation and all these things. So we lived it. We have to give it up. So I don't want to bring condemnation tonight. What can you do today to give yourself as a living sacrifice in light of what Jesus did for us? So what I'm saying is, guys, it's not just Retief who's supposed to be all amped and fire up for Jesus. Every single one of us, we should burn for Him. He should be the first thing that you say when you wake up and the last thing that you pray when you go to bed. We should live, move, and have our being in Jesus. Jesus is the only thing that will satisfy our lives. Jesus, guys, when we get to heaven, we're going to get there and God's going to say, guys, I gave you everything in Christ, but you're coming to me like paupers. You're coming to me like poor people. But yet you had everything in Christ. All the riches, all the glory, everything is manifested in one name, Jesus. There is no name under heaven by which man can be saved. And I hope the picture of hell was burned into your imagination tonight. When people get to hell, they forget that name. It's too late. Do we believe that? I ask myself this question every day. Joanne, do you believe that Jesus is the only name by which you can be saved? Maybe there's somewhere in my mind where I believe, no, there's another way. There's another way, man. God is not like that. God's scripture says, there is only one way. The name of Jesus. Let this inspire us. Now is the time. Now is the dispensation of grace. Each one of us has a calling on our lives so to contribute to souls coming to Jesus. And this is also a question that I've wrestled with many times. Am I supposed to go to China? No. Some of us are called to go. Most of us are called to stay. But you are called to be part of the commission. You are either called to pray or to give financially. But be part of it. If you sow into a ministry that is going, you are as much a partaker of every soul that gets saved through that ministry. If you pray towards a ministry, you are as much a partaker of those souls that get saved as that person who is holding the mic and preaching the gospel, because he cannot do it without you. Every single one of us are called to the Great Commission. We are called to the Great Commission. Not all of us are called to go. If you look at the Bible, Paul and Barnabas, they were sent. Two out of a church. Paul didn't go to them and say, right, guys, pack up your bags. We are all going. It wasn't like that. But every single one of us has a place. Every single one of us is like Petri said, we are part of the body. We need to bring something. What are you bringing? As you start giving yourself as a sacrifice, guess what starts to happen? Your mind will slowly get renewed. That's the second step. So as you start living like a living sacrifice, slowly but surely your mind gets renewed. And it's the renewed mind that can comprehend and discern the will of God. Romans 12, 1, 2, or verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's go to the next slide. The renewed mind. Without your mind being renewed, you cannot find God's will. And it's progressive. Listen to this. It's so beautiful. It's good. God never willed anything evil for His children. You can trust God. He knows better what is good for you than you do. Guys, we live in a society that tells us the house and the zolls are paid off is good for us. And work your butt off to get there. Guys, we need to get it out of our heads. that is not what is good for us. The will of God is good for us. Following Jesus is good for us. Waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and crying out to Jesus for the salvation of the people in your life that don't know Him, that's good for you. His will is so much better for us, but I can 100% guarantee you it's going to look completely, radically different to what you've planned your life. Secondly, it's acceptable. The more you discover it, the more you are pleased with it. The more you discover it, the more you are pleased with it. You're like, yes, this is amazing. This faith, when I apply faith in my life, it's incredible to see it working. Have you experienced that? When you step out in faith and now there's faith in action and now it works. And you're like, this is unbelievable. I'm alive. I feel alive. And then finally, it's perfect. This is an astonishing fact that God's perfect will include every detail of our lives. So we are so scared that we, you know, my pension's not going to be great and I'm not going to save up for my family and all of these things. Doesn't matter. There's only one thing that matters. It's Jesus. There's so much pressure on us in society. You walk out of here and you can feel how it's weighing you down. I'm not stepping up, man. My job's not good enough. Like, car drive is not great. All of these things that we put on ourselves, that society places on us. You know how you get rid of it. You know how you get free from it. Stop watching Netflix. Stop watching so much TV. I'm talking to myself. Okay? Spend more time in the Word. Spend more time in the mirror so that the Word of God can tell you who you are. And slowly but surely, those pressures will start coming off you. And there will only be one pressure in your life, and that pressure is the name of Jesus. And guess what Jesus says about His pressure? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It might cost you a life. So what? His will is perfect. So the last slide. Babies, young men, fathers. Babies, women, mothers. Young women. I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you tonight. What is the thing that you're going to lay down for Jesus tonight? If you are not saved, if there's not been a complete transformation in your life, a complete turnaround in Jesus, you need to get saved here tonight. Come forward. Don't walk out of here. It might be too late. It might be the last time that you ever hear the name of Jesus. And if you have not responded to the name of Jesus, it might affect your eternal destination. If you've been saved, I want you to tell yourself tonight, you have a holy calling. You have a holy calling. You have a holy calling. Your calling is holy. Separate yourself from the world. Separate yourself. Lay down the things of this world. Stop listening to the voices of society. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Get the Word of God in you. Let us grow up. Let us walk faithfully so that God will increase our faith. So, with all eyes closed, Sam, you play something for us. Father God, we just want to thank You tonight for Your grace that is here. We thank You tonight that You have sent Your Son to seek and save those who are lost. God, we are done with playing religion. We are done with playing games. We realize the worth and the value of the name of Jesus. And if you are here tonight and you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ, or maybe you've backslided, maybe you've turned away from Him, I want you to come forward right now. Come forward right now. Stand up from where you are. Come forward if you need to make that recommitment. Call it what you want. You've backslided, or you want to come and repent, or whatever you want to call it. Just come. Do not leave here tonight if you have not done that. And then the second group of people, if you want to just make that recommitment tonight, you've been following Jesus, but now you just want to come and show Him that you want to place yourself on that altar. You want to come lay down the things of this world. You need encouragement. You need the Holy Spirit to encourage you, just to come and show you who you are and what you need. I also want you to come forward so that we can lay hands on each other, we can pray for each other, we can send each other. So if you are in one of those two categories and you feel tonight, I just want to make a recommitment to Jesus. Tonight I want to take up my cross and I want to follow Jesus. Come forward. Come forward. If you want to say tonight, I realize that I've been squandering the fact that I've got a holy calling. I haven't been taking it seriously, but tonight I say, tonight I take it seriously again. I take up my cross. I follow Jesus, the one that is worthy, the one that is worthy of your life, of every breath, every fiber of our movement. Jesus is worthy of that.